every problem, there's a solution. Dear Phil, on Tip Today with Phil Prendergast.
And our Agni and Phil Prendergast is in studio with us this morning. Good morning, Phil.
Morning, Ali.
Good to talk to you this morning. And just if anyone does have a query that they would like Phil to maybe peruse over and give her sage wisdom and advice to, you can email us tiptoday@tipfm.com. How are you, Phil, first of all?
I'm really well, thank you very much.
No crack.
Well, I just a bit fed up with the rain since last July, continuous. I'd like that to be a little bit changed up.
We had a nice rest, but yesterday evening was lovely.
It was, but sure, it was only for a few minutes practically. You know, everywhere was...
That's all you deserve.
Well, I don't know. The place is very wet. The ground is very wet, really.
It is, but sure, we'll keep going.
But sure, look, it'll change.
It will change. All right, we'll go to letter one. Here's hopefully something that might change. Dear Phil, I was wondering if I could get your perspective on something that makes me really sad, but I'm not sure if it's just me being dramatic. My husband and I have been married for a number of years. We have two small children and we're generally very happy together. I always thought we treated each other with love and respect. That was until I copped the name that he had saved me under on his phone. I was looking for my phone one evening and used his to ring mine. I couldn't find my name in his contacts and asked him what I'm saved under. He gave a chuckle and said, "You're in under ball and chain." I was really upset about it and asked him how long I was saved as that, and he said he can't remember that it's always been like that. When he saw that I was upset about it, he said it was a term of endearment and not to take it so seriously. But I feel it's a big disrespect to me. On my phone, he's saved as hubby love. Was I wrong to expect the same treatment? He said he will change it if I'm that put out about it, but it doesn't change the fact that he did it and it makes me really upset. What do you think?
I think that she possibly should go into her phone and change his name to the Big Bollo and then just soften it by putting a big kiss at the end of it. I think she's probably getting upset about nothing because I don't think there's any malice in what he did. It was probably very funny at the time and he just never bothered to change it. Now, I'm amazed she didn't know before now if it's been there for quite a time. But, I mean, you have to pick what you're going to get upset about. This was done. I don't think there was malice in it. And I really think that, you know, it doesn't equate with how much he loves her, how great the relationship is. I think it's merely someone thinking it's very funny at the time and it stays that way. And there was no malice in it. I don't think he did it with intent to hurt her feelings. And he should change it if that's what she wants, or she should go in and change it herself to whatever. But, you know, I mean, if he saw himself coming up on his phone as... What you know, if he rang her and saw it, he might be a bit more respectful of her feelings.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's malice in this. I think it was just something he did for the crack and kind of got used to it.
But she feels very disrespected by it. Is she right to feel disrespected?
Look, possibly, except that if every other part of her relationship is all right, this is a nothing fight. This is getting upset for the sake of it. And, like, there's more than one way to skin a cat. She should just... pay him back in her way.
Yeah, because it is a negative connotation. I don't think any of us would like to see that we're saved as that. Because it's
except that, you see, Ali, in times gone by, I think people had more of... first of all, phones weren't around. They didn't dictate names for people. Like, I'm saved under a different name than my name on my husband's phone.
Yeah.
I have no issue with that, of course, because it's quite nice. But it's
what is it, Phil?
Well, when it probably got saved, it was probably a full flower, but now it's only a petal. So, but anyway, look, I think she's taking it a bit to heart. And, you know, I mean, now that this is out there, he probably knows exactly what he needs to do.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's a sort of a... It's not something that I think that there was any upset intended, except it did upset her.
It would probably be worse if there was like a dial tone or a ringtone with it. Like, imagine if it was a Darth Vader one where it was don, 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 don don, don, every time she rang.
That
would probably be worse too.
Well, it would, because it would be very kind of ominous and you'd think, I'm going to get bad news with this, you know, or you're not feeling good about it. And, you know, obviously it has upset her. So we have to acknowledge that she is upset. But I wouldn't overthink this. I would not overthink it. Because I mean, she can either respond to it, as I suggested, with a bit of humour, or she should just say, look, I really want you to change that, because he said he would.
But it kind of raises a wider argument, though, of I'm sure we all have people saved in our phone under maybe less than complimentary names. And just to be careful, because you can get caught.
Well, I would be very careful what you save people under, because there has been texts sent to the wrong people.
Yeah.
And the wrong Phils have received texts also when it hasn't been me, and people that would be texting me when I was, say, involved in politics have sent it to other Phils. You know,
about you.
Oh, very, like, back in the time when there was no holds barred about what people could call you, say to you, analyse you, say how useless you were, or occasionally that you did a good job there or whatever. But, like, it's all very, those kind of things over a period of time, if you're being bombarded with it, it can be very hard. I think now, and it's a different subject, and I know it's for another day, but if people are involved in say, in politics, or they have a high profile, they're open game, like.
Really?
Yeah. People think that they can say whatever they want because you're a public figure and you're not doing what they want, or things are not going according to plan. So look, Ali, I think in the case of this poor lady, the fact that she feels very disrespected, and the fact that she saved her husband as hubby love.
Hubby love.
I would be
chained.
Like, I mean, very nice.
He'll just be Brendan from now on, and that'll
be
it.
Or Martin, yeah. Lucifer, whatever he'll be. But he'll be something else.
I understand where she's coming from. It probably is upsetting, but it's not a big deal.
Yeah, but he said it doesn't change the fact that he did it. But she can't change that. She has to change how she feels about that.
Yeah.
And that's the bottom line, really. And I wish her well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know. Now, letter two. This is an interesting one. My grandmother has lived to her late 90s and has had a great life with her family all around her. She's sadly coming to the end of her life, and we're preparing for her passing. As a family, we were discussing the plans for her funeral, as she had spoken about wanting to be waked at home. During the conversation, I said we should have an evening with just the younger grandkids and great grandkids to say goodbye. My brother and sister were appalled that I would want the children to see her in a coffin. All the kids range in age from 2 to 14. My own kids are 4, 9 and 12. I fully plan to have them there and feel it's a really healthy way to get children used to the idea of death. But my siblings say I'm morbid if I want my children to see a dead body. They say they will look different and it will be too frightening for them, and they're too young to understand. I am standing by my view. They, I'm sure, will stand by theirs. But do you think it's inappropriate to have children at a wake with an open coffin?
Look, Ali, I'm saying this with, you know, with a bit of caution. You know, she talks about having an evening with just the younger grandkids and great grandkids to say goodbye. That's actually, she's talking about taking an evening entirely out of the time after the grandmother has passed and just having an exclusive children's. I don't really think that's appropriate if the oldest of those children are 14.
Right.
Or 12. The 2-year-old, the 3-year-old, the 5-year-olds. I think it shouldn't be a party time, because they are too young to understand. And for some of them, they might just want to say, why is she cold? Why isn't she waking up? Why won't she talk to us? And there might be others that are absolutely freaked out by it. I know I wasn't very comfortable around death at all. I was fine, God rest him, when my own father passed. I wasn't too fine when my brother passed, because he was only 53. Yeah. And, you know, it was very sudden. But it's a very personal thing. You know, she says, I fully plan to have them there. I feel it's a really healthy way to get children used to the idea of death. I wouldn't think that it has to be a life lesson at this hour of their lives, being honest with you, because I think for some kids, they can be very frightened with the idea that, you know, I can remember going through a phase myself saying, what would happen if my mammy died or my daddy died when I was a child?
But let me give you the counter argument to that, because the first dead person I saw in a coffin was my mother. And I was 9 at the time. I was 10 at the time. And it was the first person I saw, and it traumatized me for years. And I, with my kids now, I would have always brought them to funerals because I feel this will get them used to, God forbid if anything happened, that I wouldn't be the first one, or someone that was really close to them would be the first one, that this is something that's normal. And it's part of the grieving process.
Yeah, Ali, and really, I'm very sorry you lost your mum at such a young age, and it's an awful fright, and it's an awful thing in someone's life, as any loss of life is when it's unexpected.
Yeah.
This woman is in her 90s.
Yeah.
I just wouldn't be doing an evening party just with the kids, because it puts a status on it that wouldn't otherwise be there. Let them be in or around, or have someone to take them and entertain them and look after them. In relation to the older children, give them a choice. Do you want to come and see Nanny before the coffin is closed or something like that?
14 is old enough to have that conversation.
No, absolutely. At 14 is old enough to have every sort of conversation, Ali, in fairness. But it's just something that I think is very personal. I do think that the other families' feelings around it should be considered, because she's talking about their kids as well coming into it, and if they think it's a very morbid thing, perhaps she needs to just maybe, and you know, the granny isn't dead yet.
That's the thing too.
Yeah.
I mean, and I know they're trying to prepare everybody for it, but don't get ahead of yourself.
No, don't, because I mean, there's women that live well into their hundreds now, and men.
Yeah,
obviously. Just, you know, so I think that she needs to draw breath. She needs to stop projecting what might happen and when it might happen. Granny might pass away in hospital or not at home. Mm. It might be entirely different about bringing her back to the house, you know, and having a room set up and having everything the way she would want it and all of that.
Yeah.
But it could be a funeral home, which are, again, they can be morbid places for some people. They can be a place of comfort for others when you realise that someone has lived a great long life and has had an impact. I mean, I think it's a personal choice, but I wouldn't, if the whole family are against the idea because they consider it to be so morbid, maybe she should tailor it to, do you want to come in and just, we'll say, a prayer with Nanny?
Yeah. Like a whole evening is probably forcing them a little bit.
Well, it's kind of, what do you do for a whole evening? Like, I mean, they're not going to say ring a ring of roses around the coffin. Like.
Yeah. James says quite hard. He said, Christ, just bring the kids to the wake. The pansy style of parenting, protecting kids from everything, has gone totally over the top. There's no winners in GA games, underage even. Absolutely pathetic. Life is real and tough. Expose them to it and explain it. That's from James.
Yeah, but I think it depends again on the ages of them. I think it's fine with the 11 and the 14-year-old and, you know, the 9-year-old even. But I wouldn't be bringing 2-year-olds and 3-year-olds in to have a party.
Well, it's not a party. So I disagree with you on that. I think they should be brought into that from an early age.
Well, you see, Ali, you're speaking from an absolute different perspective, because you have, as that child, looked and saw your mum.
Yeah, maybe.
And I mean, I think that probably has an effect, definitely, and it does have an effect. And that man may well be right, because do you know what? Nobody is right 100 times. You know what
true.
I mean?
Yeah.
Or 100%. And I'm not saying I'm right in my view. I'm saying that in the view of the family are not agreeable to the children's party.
Yeah. But the bottom line is, you can't make a decision for other people's children.
No, you
can't.
You
make one for your own.
No, you can't. That's exactly it.
Yeah.
And she must do what's right for her, but she mustn't do what's right for her and then include all the others.
Another listener says, let the grandchildren go to the funeral of the grandmother, pay their respects. What kind of idea is this? It can be so peaceful and personal to the children to be at the body and soul stays over the body after death. So let them feel the presence. And after that, it will make their connection closer to the past soul. Stop interfering with the children's natural experience. They won't see anything that's morbid. They will have the support of a large community showing respect and care to them all. And that will help them too. That's what I love about a funeral as well. When the company or with the community, and the whole family come together and come around you, and then a child can see this is the grieving process, but this is how many people support you in it as well.
Exactly, Ali. And so this lady has not passed away, and already there's plans about
that's
what
true.
To do. So
yes.
I think that's not organic. That's not how it would flow when the actual event does happen.
Yeah.
And we could be looking at another 5 years. We could be looking at 2 years. We could be looking at, gosh, maybe since the letter was written. God help us, she may already have passed. We do not know.
And you don't want them falling out over something that hasn't happened yet?
Not at all, not at all, because it's projecting and it's assuming and it's planning for something that, as you said, is completely organic and it's different things for different folks.
Yeah. That's the thing. Laura then said, having worked with Rainbows, a bereavement group, and worked as a primary teacher, we would have been told by psychologists that children should be involved in the funeral process. Otherwise, children can't process why everyone is sad and where the deceased person has gone. It's important to always sympathise with children too. You're saying that?
Oh yeah, and she's not absolutely wrong about that at all. But we're talking about a hypothetical situation where somebody, in advance of somebody's demise, is already planning that there should be a segment of an evening put over for very young children and a range of children's ages. And I think that's kind of strange.
Okay, so let each parent make the decision for their child. Don't force it on anyone and don't fall out over something.
Yeah, and
that hasn't
also
happened.
Maybe talk to them in advance as well and just say, you know, Nanny's getting really old now and she might be going to heaven soon.
Yeah.
And, you know, so when that happens, like, we'll have her here for a little while and you can go into the room if you want.
Yeah. The cutest thing I remember is when my own grandmother died and I brought my fella into the funeral home to see her, and he would have only been, five or six or something at the time, and he came in and he said, why is Granny in a treasure chest?
I just thought
they're very innocent. Their view of it is very innocent too, isn't it?
But something lovely about that as well though, because, you know,
lovely.
To them that was because it was embellished and it was lovely and she was at peace and there was beautiful flowers and there was candles and, you know, I mean it's really different things for different people,
totally.
Isn't it?
Yeah. And you just have to, I suppose, gauge what kind of a personality of a child you have, that they won't be affected by it, I suppose.
Well, also just to talk to them and say, how do you feel about that? That poor Nanny is gone, or Granny is gone, whatever name they know her by, you know.
Great.
So, yeah.
Letter three then. Dear Phil, I work for a retail business and as part of my job, I have access to the social media page for the shop, which I would post to regularly. I made a really stupid mistake at the weekend where I made a drunken video with my friend, and as part of the video, I flashed my boobs. I thought I sent it to our mutual friend for a laugh, but I actually posted it to my work social media. I woke up to loads of texts and missed calls, but had my phone on silent, so missed them all. My boss spotted it the next morning, removed it, and to be fair, has been very nice about it. She told me to maybe remove the link from my phone and just use it on the work computer. But what's really awful is that so many people saw it before it was removed. Because it's a shop, people have come in making comments about seeing so much of me over the weekend. I even had a group of schoolgirls come in, pretend to browse, look at me, laugh and run out. It's really humiliating. I know I messed up, but I feel now that this will follow me around forever. I'm mortified. Should I quit my job and lay low for a while? I'm trying to hold my head high and laugh along, but I now dread going in every morning. I know we giggle a bit, but the poor thing, that is
it is awful. But you know what? I think her boss is extremely fair here.
Yeah.
She took the link down. She did say disconnect that from, you know, so that this doesn't happen again. People are entitled to time off, and they're entitled to mess around as well. And people, when they have drink taken, can make things. They can make mistakes they would not have made had they not had quite so much been quite so in great form. By whatever means. You know, this will pass.
It will.
People are not going to remember that forever. And there might be people that will come around and say, do you know what, did you gas a woman to do that? But there's others saying, weren't you an awful idiot?
Yeah.
And she does not feel good. She does not feel good right now. But I think she was treated really well by her boss.
I agree.
Because her boss could have said, you know, like, really, what you do in your off time is your own business, and so it is. But making it the business. And I know that this was a mistake, Ali, but when there's alcohol involved or any other means of substance use, it can actually really change what you think you're doing.
Yeah.
And it's very easy to send the wrong link to the wrong place. It's like your man sending the text to his boss about his boss.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this is a real thing that happens. She will get over this. She will get slagged. She'll have to suck that up because it was great fun at the time. But she will also be very careful about posting in future.
She will. But what's the best way of her reacting? Is she better off to kind of laugh along and go, sure, you know yourself, should
say, no, just say, I am absolutely mortified. I wish I hadn't done it. I have. Now you've all seen him. Can we just stop?
Oh, I feel sorry for her.
I feel sorry for her as well. But, you know, she, you know, and it's so easy for this to do. It has happened so many people where they're meant to send a text to someone else about someone and they send it to the someone.
What happens?
Absolutely happens. And I mean, I know it happens. You know, and it's very, you know, but she accidentally posted to her work social media. I'm sure they looked at it and thought, oh, I don't think she meant to do that. Or isn't this just gas?
Doesn't this give us a good boost in viewership?
And I mean, I'd love to know what all the messages and missed calls were. Were they supportive? Were they saying, oh, listen, you need to take that down?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, look, it's a thing. This, in a period of time, will not matter a jot. She just doesn't feel that now. She should not quit her job. She should not lie low. This is done. It is over. It's in the past.
There'll be a new drama next week.
Listen, there's always going to be a new drama.
Yeah.
You know, there's always going to be a new drama. So I think she should not overthink it. She should just say, I feel awful. I think her boss was extremely nice. Yeah. I think she needs to be grateful to her for taking it down. And I think the timing of taking it down was, you know, really good as well, really quick. But it's happened, and you know, her boss was very nice about it, and she was fair, and she told her to maybe remove the link from my phone and just use it on the work computer, which is extremely tolerant, fair, and accepting that things, itchy things happen when you're having a kind of a blowout night, and things can happen that you don't exactly mean.
And maybe it's a lesson to remove any connection with work on your personal phone. So
that's the whole idea from the way the boss treated it, and she seems to have been very, very fair and very nice. I mean, I'd be feeling very good about that boss if it was me. And I think she needs to just chill out and breathe. Yes, she'll get slagged at for a while, and there'll be remembrances, and there will be, you know, where the photographs come up to tell you what you were doing 10 years ago and all the rest of it. And she'll be saying, weren't my boobs great then?
Exactly. I was going to say that. Yeah. Better do it now than in 60 years when they're down on your knees.
Excuse me?
Well, for me, more than for you, but sure, listen. Phil, then for anyone who's looking to make contact with us to get advice from you, they can email us, of course, tiptoday@tipfm.com. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Great to see you.
No problem.